This morning, I wanted to share a little bit about giving thanks. And giving thanks equals being happy. The more thankful you are, the happier you will be in life. And that sounds kind of hard to believe, but it is true. We're not going to read it right away, but if you take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 1, I was thinking about being thankful, and there's a lot of different ways. It's kind of like God's love. There's a lot of ways of approaching it, and I usually am a pretty clear-cut directional person when I'm working the Word, but there was just so many inroads to thankfulness and how one of the keys to being happy in life is by being thankful. And I had a really hard time not working that situation, but not getting really off point, because you can go to different verses of scripture that say about being thankful and how we should be thankful. And we'll read in Thessalonians, the end-all be-all for being thankful is giving thanks in everything. In everything you do, keep looking for the blessings God's intended just for you. And that's what we need to do each and every day of our lives. My heart for you is that you would be happy, truly happy people. And as Christians, we should be happy. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, according as his, that's God's, divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And being happy is part of that. Being happy in life. And how I said a little earlier, being thankful is one of those keys. It's one of the keys to being happy. Now, happiness is a quality or state of being happy. It is good fortune, pleasure, contentment. And isn't that how we should be living our lives each and every day? Good fortune in pleasure and contentment, and not all this rack and ruin of the world. I see these people protesting, and I think, you ungrateful tart. That's not an opinion, that's the fact. You know, people should be thankful that they live in a free country. And I've said this before, about Sylvan. They're in a country where they chop off women's parts that would feed children. You know, we don't have that. When was the last time, and we'll get into that a little later, because it's important to know that we're not persecuted here in the United States. And we should be thankful that we're not, that we're free, that we can speak the word, read the word, teach the word, love each other. I can hug and kiss every person in this room and nobody's going to think, ooh, this guy's a pervert or whatever, you know. But, you know, and it's the truth. We need to be thankful for that. So, and I added to that good fortune, pleasure, contentment, and a smile on your face. I would like you to have a smile and a happy face as you go out and live life, man. That's a sign that you're content and that God's taking care of you. Now, thankfulness is not an inherent part of our DNA. It just isn't. Most people are not thankful. Man. The problem today is that the devil has tricked most people into thinking they're owed everything. And as Christians, we need to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness. It's a direct command from God. And in the Old Testament, God laid down specific guidelines for the Israelites to bring thank offerings. In the New Testament, believers are instructed to be thankful in every situation. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to read that, 5. It's important each and every day of our lives to be thankful. When you wake up in the morning, I'm thankful I'm drawing breath, man. I'm thankful it's another great day to love God, praise God, and do His Word. We should be too, each and every one of us. 1 Thessalonians. You know, it's the protester thing that really got me thinking about all people being thankful and how they're rioting, and it's all woe is me. I mean, the devil really has tricked people into thinking that they're owed everything. You know, I ought to be owed everything. They're taking down statues, they're doing this and doing that, all in the guise of being politically correct. Who the heck gives two hoots and a holler what's politically correct? We should be concerned with what God's Word says, because that's the truth. You know, I think of that song. Who's that guy? I went to a garden party. Ricky Nelson. He said, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. And the way you pleased is by doing the Word of God each and every day of your lives. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, in everything, and when? Everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. That's how we should be, giving thanks all the time, like Carmen said this morning. And one way we do that is by speaking in tongues. We'll see that in a few minutes. But thankful is an adjective, and it's a member of a class of words that modify nouns and pronouns, primarily by describing a particular quality of the word that they are modifying. A wise grandmother. A handsome, I love this, or handsome as he is extremely handsome. Or Christians are extremely happy people, and they should be extremely happy people. That's how we should be. When you leave here today, you should be happy. You should be blessed. You heard the word of God, and you're living another day, man. You live to step up to the plate another day and swing. And no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter how bad you think things are, they're not. Because God loves us. And the more we give thanks, the better off we're going to be. It's a feeling or expressing of gratitude. It's being appreciative. And we need to be appreciative. John was telling me this morning when he got here about this guy. He said he's like 88 years old, and he goes to see his wife, and his wife has dementia. And I said, you know what? That's rough, man. I know that from my mom. She had that towards the end, and I was pretty much like the only person that she recognized. And it was great, because when my kids and my grandkids and people went over to see her, which wasn't really a lot, but they'd always say, wow, man, we can't believe she still knows who you are, because she doesn't know who anybody else is. I mean, not that I'm all that, trust me, but it was just that it was nice that instead of focusing on all the people she didn't know and saying, nah, she's in tough shape, man, she doesn't recognize anybody, well, they said, yo, man, we're pretty blessed. At least she recognized you. You know, at least there's somebody. So anyway, so it's a feeling of being appreciative, and we should be appreciative for all the things that God has done. It has been said, if God's word says it once, it's important. But the words give thanks are used 48 times from 2 Samuel 22:50 to Revelation 11:17. That's how many times are used. And that's only from Samuel to Revelation. There's more. If you go to like Psalms, and that's just give thanks. If you go to work thankfulness and all that, I mean, it's used like a lot. I don't know. I want to say a million times. I don't think it's used a million times, but I don't know how many times it's used. But it's used like a really lot. So one reason people have trouble being thankful in everything is because they're circumstance-oriented. We let the circumstances of life get us down. And we can't let the circumstances of life get us down. As Christians, we can't let that dictate our happiness. If you let the circumstances of life dictate your happiness, you're going to be unhappy. And you're going to be unthankful. And you're going to be ungrateful. So, I say, you know the old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough stay thankful. And that's how we should be in our lives. We should be staying thankful each and every day of our lives. So, to to tell you, I was going to share a little story about when I went lead one time. And if I shared this before, I guess it won't hurt you to hear it again. But when you go on this lead thing, when we were in Indiana in the Way Corps, and you go out and you got a hitchhike from, well, we had to go from Rome City, Indiana to Tinney, New Mexico. Now, I'd be lying if I told you I know how far it is, because I don't know, and I never really cared. I just knew it was, like, really far, and I just prayed that we'd get a ride and everything would be great and God would take care of us, which he did. So we went to lead, and it was sweet. We had a, well, I don't say we had a really great time, but because it was kind of rough, but that's okay. I'm not a country guy. I'm not a mountainy guy. I'm not a fisherman. I'm not a hunter. I'm not none of that. Was born and raised in the city, so, and I don't like to walk. In fact, praise God, all the things I disliked, I had to do. But the, I never think the guy goes, okay, here's your backpack. You'll be carrying. I'm like, what? Carrying what? He goes, yeah, because you put on this backpack. Well, we're all part of a team. And I said, dude, I'm not part of a team. I'm not part of anything. I'm not carrying that crap. It's all I can, excuse me, special, but I said, that's all I can do to walk. You expect me to walk? Like miles and miles and miles? He said, yeah. So, anyway, so it wasn't all that great, but praise God, I lived through it. And I'm thankful that I am thankful that I had that experience. I kid you not. It was really great. Sometime I'll tell a couple. Maybe we'll just, one night we'll just say, I'm sure others of you, Ken and Carmen, now you guys are going on lead. Yes. You have little stories to tell. But the point is, so we got there. It was good, and we were coming back, and it was cold. It was cold as the dickens, man. In fact, that first one that we went to, the first session, was the first time it had ever been cut short, ever. They never cut it short, but it was so cold, people got frostbite. It was really bad. It was really rough, and it took a lot of praying and a lot of being thankful to get through it, thankful that we would all be okay. And in fact, they let us stay in the lodge the one night and turned on a movie in that because it was so cold. Anyway, so we're hitchhiking back, and it's Dolores and myself, and we got into this truck stop, and this guy, we got in a ride, and this guy dropped us off. And we were standing there for about 2 or 3 hours, and I had sent her into the truck stop to get a cup of coffee and hang out in that. And man, I'm telling you, it was cold as the dickens, and it started snowing. And I'm thinking, man, this is like got to be as bad as it gets. And then I thought, no, this is not as bad as it gets. It could be a lot worse. And it could have been. I could have been run over while I was standing there. I could be standing there another 27 hours or whatever. I could not make it back. I could have to call somebody. Anyway, as you go through all these things, I started in my mind being thankful to God and thankful that I had the strength to stay up there. And as the wind was blowing, I was freezing. And this piece of cardboard came dancing along. And I stamped on the cardboard and I picked it up, zipped down my coat. And I stuck the cardboard in my coat. And I thought, wow, things are looking up already. I'm not near as cold. The wind's not blowing right through me because the cardboard's stopping it. And then shortly after that, I was praying and speaking in tongues and thanking God that everything would be okay. And a little bird, I kid you not, in the snow flew by. And it was like God was telling me that it was going to be okay. And that's why if you listen to my ringtone, one of the reasons I got Three Little Birds there by Bob Marley. It's every little thing going to be all right because it's going to be all right because God was going to take care of me. And shortly thereafter that, Dolores came out of the diner and she said, I got to ride with this guy. I think he's a little screwy, but I figured we got to get to moving. And I'm like, yeah. And so she said, please just don't fall asleep when we get in the truck because I don't want to have to talk to this guy for all those hours. And I'm like, okay, bud, I will. But praise God, I got in the truck. The heat was like unbelievable. Anyway, so you can't be circumstance-oriented. You got to look to God and be thankful and know that God's going to take care of you because he's going to. And We were talking the other night about this at fellowship. This wasn't what we shared, but we were talking about being thankful, and somebody said, you know, one of the worst things you think can happen to you is to get stuck behind a school bus when you're trying to get to work, because like you're like, dude, I got to get to Stepin, I got to get to work, I don't want to be late, and you get behind a school bus. And she said, I looked up, and there was a sign in the back of the school bus, and it said, thank God, if this is the worst thing that happens to you today, this isn't bad at all. She said, I actually had to put my head down and think, oh, man, yeah. So there you go. So we need to keep life in perspective. Things aren't really that bad. And we are not beaten or made to suffer for the word's sake. Even if we get stuck behind a school bus, life's not all that bad. Turn to the book of Acts, please, chapter 16. And we're just going to look at a couple of things. When the going gets tough, the tough stay thankful. And we're going to stay thankful to God each and every day of our lives. And my prayer for you is that, like I said, you would be happy and that you will be thankful. I know a lot of people have gone through a lot of heartaches. There's been a lot of things that, you know, whether self-inflicted or not, we've had rough lives, you know, or so we think it is, but it's not all that bad by comparison. In Acts 16, verse 19, please. And this is the story of the Apostle Paul, or the record of Paul and the soothsayer, the woman who had a spirit, and... So we're just going to read it because this is where you can see they were beaten and they were thrown in jail and they still were thankful to God by praising him. And when, verse 19, her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So see, the devil, he wants to work everybody up into a frenzy. And like I shared in the fake news, he wants to build discord, discontentment, confusion, doubt, worry, fear. And this is one way they generate this stuff, by grabbing people and beating them up and just doing bad things to them, man. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, verse 23, charging the jailer keep them safely, who received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in stocks. So here they are. They're just being beat up. They're in a bad way, man. The guy locks them up. He puts some shackles on their feet, some handcuffs on their hands, and he throws them in jail. Now, you would think that's a pretty rough situation. But think about it. When was the last time we were beat up, thrown in jail, just for speaking the word? I don't know about you, but I've never been. I was thinking about that in the Hare Krishnas. I don't know if... Do they still have Hare Krishnas? They go out at the airport, and they used to give flowers and speak the word. Yesterday, we were down in Ocean City, and wow, Nick and Kim said they love you, and they send their love. They're down there in Ocean City taking a day off, and we walked up the boardwalk, and there was these two guys standing there, and they had a sign, and they were like ministers, I guess, and they had a sign up on the boardwalk, and it said, what is greater than God?
More evil than the devil?
Yes, did you see that sign?
I heard it.
Well, I don't know. Now I got goosebumps from that. Yes, that you said that. More evil than the devil. If you eat it, you die.
The poor have it, the rich don't need it.
Yeah, that's it. It was a whole bunch of things. And anyway, so I went up to the guy. And Nick is like, look at him. Like, dude, don't. Like, walk over. He didn't think that. I said, I got to talk to that guy. So I walk over and I says, dude, I have a question. And he says, oh, the million-dollar question. I said, no, I don't have a million-dollar question. I said, can you tell me what's the answer? And he says, the answer is in the first line. What's greater than God? And I said, no one. He goes, that's right. And that's the answer to the rest of them. There's nothing greater than God. And if God, he didn't say this, but I added, if God is our Father, what's greater than him? What is there that he can't handle? Like I said earlier, I don't know if I said it today or last week or whatever, you know, if you look in that chapter and verse, the new chapter and verse, I wrote, what a novel concept, casting your cares upon him. I don't know if I wrote that, but I said, it's great that we can cast our cares upon God, knowing that he's always caring for us. So verse 25. So now they're in jail, and they're all handcuffed up, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Here they are. They're happy campers. Wow. I don't know. There's this thing in the Catholic religion, and I'm not against it. I'm just saying, you know, I think it's called the Beatitudes, and it's all this, like, blessed are these people, and blessed are those people. And I know one of them is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I think that's awesome.
Huh?
Is it? I didn't even know that. I thought it was just from the Christian or Catholic people. So, and here I am, not even knowing that. Well, anyway, these Beatitudes. So, you know, blessed are the peacekeepers. Yeah, you can look into that. I mean, it's pretty cool. So anyway, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. So here they are. They're in a really bad way. But they still sang praises unto God. They were still thankful to God. They praised God. And as a result of that, God moved. God's going to move each and every time. You are thankful to him. And you're going to be happy and put a smile on your face because you're going to know that God is taking care of you. Paul and Silas were happy because they were thankful. And I'm sure they were happy campers. And you can go on and read the rest of the record. And it's a great record, but Hebrews chapter 11, please. In Hebrews, we're going to see once again, we're not going to read the whole thing, but maybe four or five verses, because I think this is really the crux of being thankful. People believe that the world's getting worse each and every day of their lives. I don't know that I really believe that. I'm not trying to dissuade you one way or the other. If you think it is, I say fine. You know, I just think that the media, the way the media is today, it's so intense, and there's so many people saying so many things that it just moves so fast. You know, like this thing that's going on in Texas, you can, and you know what, maybe at the end, that's what we ought to do, have a little season of prayer for some of these people, some of the things that are going on, but in Texas, with this hurricane and all this other business, if you don't have been living under a rock and don't know anything about it, it's really bad. I mean, them people are really suffering down there. They need some prayer, man. They need it in the worst way. And I think that's part of the media thing. Years ago, like, I'm older, and years ago, like, well, they had TV when I was young, but I'm not that old anyway. Anyways, I'm thinking about it. You know, the heart of the issue is, at the end of the day, is that, you know, the news moves fast. There was like 3, 6, 10, and like I said, in the fake news, now there's like channels dedicated to news and bad things that go on in life and what's going on. I also believe, my counter to that, is that God has made it easier and easier, and now it's about as easy as it can be to be happy and be blessed and be a Christian. And that's the thing that I want you to look at Hebrews from, that perspective. We don't have it nearly as hard to be a Christian as the people in Hebrews are talked about, or Paul and Silas, or anyone else in the Word, for that matter. Verse 32 of Hebrews 11. What more shall I say? And what shall I say more say? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and the prophets. And man, if you read Psalms, that he's just, David's just like 24/7 thankful to God. 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the what?
Promise.
And do you know what that promise was? Jesus Christ, man. That's what that promise was. This is how these people lived every day of their lives. Now, they weren't thrown in the lion's den every day. Somebody got up, like Groundhog Day, threw them in the lion's den to get chewed up, and then next day got up, threw them in the lion's den, next day got up. No. But that was part of their life. And you know what? They didn't receive the promise of the Father, which was Jesus Christ, and the ability to be born again. And that's what I'm talking about when I say it's easier today. God, verse 40, having provided some better thing for who?
Us.
For us. What is that better thing? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. That's why we're thankful, man. You're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you. I was going to do a little thing at the end and pass out an index card. Maybe you just need to think about it. You know, when you leave today, think of one thing that you're happy for. You know, when I do the spiritual health check, I do that like every year, not just here, but mostly at our fellowship when we do the spiritual health check. That's a question this year. What are you thankful for? I mean, if you have nothing else to be thankful for, it's that you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you. You have eternal life. What is more important than to know that you're going to live forever? I don't know. How blessed are we? Even though they did all that God asked, God provided something better for us. And that they should not be perfect without us. Our lives make them perfect. The household of God, Carmen sang this morning, the family of God. I thought that was like so cool. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for each other and be blessed. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to get on our horses and run the race. We need to get on the thankful train and praise God for all he has done and continues to do for us. That's something you should work, thanksgiving and praise. It's important, and that's like a whole nother sharing, but if you work the thanksgiving and praise, it's really a big deal. It's really a very big deal how you can be thankful and praising God at the same time. And as Carmen so eloquently said this morning, one way you can do that is perfect praise, speaking in tongues. God has made it easy for us to be thankful. If you don't have time to sit in your room and thank God for all the things that he's done for you, you can always speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're just going to look at three or four things speaking in tongues does for you. And that's part of being thankful. You know, like Jonathan said, I'm speaking in tongues. When Carmen said you need to speak in tongues, Jonathan said, I'm speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues anytime, any place, anywhere. So 1 Corinthians 14:2, it is speaking divine secrets to God. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So there you go, it's speaking divine secrets unto God. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you'll see that it's speaking the wonderful works of God. And that's something that just constantly blows me away, speaking the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. And it says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's pretty cool. God's done some pretty wonderful works. I'd say just calling me to his family was a wonderful work as it is. Let's look at Acts 10, verse 46, please. It magnifies God. And doesn't God deserve to be magnified? You can look, like I said, there's just so many ways of going at it. You can look at there's a record in Luke, because I went there. I looked at a lot of these different things. And in Luke, there was 10 lepers that went before Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, listen, when you're out there, you go to the temple or magistrate, somebody, I forget. And he says, you go there and let them know, show yourself to them that they can see that you were healed. And as they left, they did the word. They literally did what Jesus Christ said. He said, go, they left. And as they were hot-footing it over there, they were healed. They were cleansed, the lepers. I don't know if you know anything about leprosy, but man, like body parts could like fall off. That's pretty wild when you think about it. How's that for a circumstance? When was the last time I woke up and had a finger fall off? I don't think so. You know, but you got to think about that. That's a rough circumstance, but they didn't let that circumstance get them down. They were thankful to God they hot-footed. So on the way there, they're coming back. One guy, a Samaritan, realizes that he's whole and runs back. Hot foots it back to Jesus Christ and thanks him. And he says, yo, man, wasn't there like 10 of you guys? He said, Mom, know about the rest of those guys, but I came back. And that's not what he said, but that's the heart of the issue. He says, you know what? I came back because I was thankful. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Yeah, you work that down. Tell me what you think about that. That's pretty important, man. Jesus Christ coming and living inside of us has made us whole. So did I say magnifies God, Acts 10:46? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Romans chapter 8, please. I'm going to look at verse 26. It's perfect prayer in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We can have perfect prayer as we speak in tongues each and every day of our lives. Did I say it's giving thanks well? No. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it's giving thanks well, and that's what we're about today, giving thanks well. You guys okay?
Yes.
Good, just making sure. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So it's giving thanks well. That's what we want to do, give thanks well. You know, I don't know if you... You know, I always say that it's not what you do when people are watching. It's what you do when people aren't watching. That's really important. Now, you don't have to answer this. But let me ask you, think about it. If you never tried dancing in the Spirit, you need to give it a shot. I don't know what dancing in the Spirit is, but I got this like, woo-hoo! Like, wake up in the morning and just give thanks unto God. You know, even if it's like just doing this, yo. Try it, man. Don't be religious. And I'm not saying be stupid or be goofy or anything like that. God doesn't laugh at those things. God loves you, man. He wants to take care of your every need. And he'll do it. Where was I now? Okay, first, did I read that? 1 Corinthians 14?
Verse 17, I think that's what you said.
Thank you. Verse 17, for thou versely giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. And I wrote, it also helps us focus on God. And when you focus on God, you can't help to be happy. You just almost have to be happy when you're focusing on God. It's just the way it is, man. You know, you can't have two thoughts at the same time. I don't know about you, I can't. So you get one thought. It was funny yesterday. Nick, we're walking on the boardwalk, and so Nick and Kim get this bucket of popcorn. It's like caramel corn. It's pretty sporty, I must add. So Nick's coming back, and he's like giving me the eye, and he says, "Dude, it's like warm," and you can almost like see we're getting like goosebumps over the warm popcorn. Like, I don't think I ever had that. So he opens the bag. So we're eating it as we're walking along, and I have one piece because of the braces, or I'd have probably got 10,000 pieces. So as we're walking along, and he says to Dolores, he's going to Dolores like this, like going sideways to her to give her some. And she goes, "Oh, I got to stop eating this. And when we stopped, I had this little finger, and I went up on her shoulder, and I went, eat the popcorn. And then I put up the other side, "Don't eat that popcorn. You don't need it." Anyway, you can't listen to both of them at the same time. You can't listen to "eat the popcorn, don't eat the popcorn." So focus on "don't eat the popcorn," unless you really want to eat the popcorn, and eat it and be blessed. You know, that's what it's really about. Focusing on God one thought at a time, being thankful, you're going to be happy. That's what it's all about. So, anyway, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. And I just want to read Psalm 100 this morning at the end. I had Carmen start with that this morning as the first thing that we would do to get your heart right and prepared to be thankful each and every day of your lives. And you know, you can look up, I'm a big fan of what it is not. And it's not being ungrateful. It's not being unthankful. You can look up all that. You know, look to the praise thing. There's a lot of things you can do. But for the most part, my heart for you is that you focus on God Almighty and that you be thankful for what all that God has done so that you can live a happy and cheerful and contented life and be blessed. That no matter what the devil throws at you, it's going to be okay because God's going to take care of it for you. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And think about all generations. That's your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And if the Lord should tire, your children's 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 children. So be thankful and go out and be blessed and have a really great day. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to turn the thing off and then if anybody has any need at all or anything they want to be thankful for or anything, we're just going to take a few minutes and try not to go on for like an hour, but, you know, I'd like you to pray and thank God for it, okay? So, Almighty God, thank you for the greatness of this day, for your love, your mercy, your peace, for all that you do for us and continue to do for us every day of our lives. Thank you that we can speak in tongues much and be thankful to you for all that you've done, that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be the total propitiation for our sins. Thank you for the men and women who serve this country. and who keep it free, and that we can be thankful that we live in this free country and be blessed knowing that you are God and we are your children. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.